Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when he comes back again, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Amen, in glory. And so this first thing, this point number one that I want to bring up, it says is, if you have been raised with Christ. So what's that meaning? We can read these things and just go, just read them. And then you'll read it one day and all of a sudden you'll stop and say, if I've been raised with Christ, so we know, you know, or this is what it's talking about, you will know. Number one, if you have been raised with Christ, it's meaning, let me ask you, stating this, have you been born again? You see, you can ask people, do you believe in God? And it's okay, right? People don't get offended that at all. They don't get a, you can say, hey, do you believe in God? And that can mean a million different things. Do you believe that? That's true. You can say things like, do you pray to the man upstairs? You ever I'll be able to talk sooner or later during this sermon, I promise. Do you pray to the man upstairs? That doesn't offend people. Or yes, I believe the good Lord watches over all of us. You've heard that. The good Lord watches all over all of us. Or we are all God's children. You can say those phrases in public and nobody gets offended. But the things that can start to cause a stink or an uprise is when you say, hey, have you been born again? See, I've seen many people who believe in God or claim to believe in God or say they believe in God, and I can mention these phrases, but then they'll ask me, are you one of those fanatical born-again Christians? Amen, that's what I'll say. But let me say this. You to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Oh, how he loves you and I, amen? You must be born again. We can look at scripture, as a matter of fact, 1 Peter 1:23, and it's talking about those, it says, for if you have been born again, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Did you know that everybody that's here that, you know this, I've mentioned this before, you come from a seed, right? A man and a woman, you know, we know that. I'm not going to get graphic, but you come from a seed. But you know, that's a perishable seed. You're going to die someday, right? I don't care if you live to 100. I don't care if you live to 110. I don't care if you're believing to live to 120. But unless Christ comes back someday, you will pass away. You will die because you were born in the natural, a perishable seed. But this born again means that you are born of imperishable seed on the inside of you, thus becoming born again. Though your body may die, yet you shall live with him forever. Within that imperishable seed has everything within that DNA that God has for your life. Imperishable seed. So the first thing you got to understand when it's talking about this thing of therefore if you have been raised with Christ, what it's really saying is if you have been born again, this imperishable seed that is in you and I. It's amazing, this imperishable seed comes by you listening to the message of the gospel and then saying, I believe that, and that's where faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and believe in the gospel of grace and say, I believe that. I believe that God died for my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I believe he's coming back. It's believing those things, and then an imperishable seed in your soul realm, in your spirit realm, comes alive. And it can begin to grow and expand. Amen? The thing is, if this imperishable seed, you can't see. If we were to do an MRI on you or anything or take any kind of x-rays, you can't see that imperishable seed. Right? It's just like if somebody has a bitter root or struggles with bitterness. And you go to the doctor and say, hey, I've got bitterness. And I there's a root of bitterness in me. I need to have surgery. I need you to remove this. And they take an MRI and they say, we don't see anything. But I know it's there. It affects every part of my life. But I know it's there. I need you to do an exploratory surgery. I'll pay you whatever you want, but I need you to do an exploratory surgery. And they do an exploratory surgery in your inner man and in your belly, right? And they come back and say, we couldn't find anything in the natural. But in the spiritual, that root is there as in a case. It's the same thing in the spiritual, this seed that's imperishable, that is forever, is in you. You can't see it, but man, it is alive into eternal life. Matter of fact, I'll mention the scripture says everything that you and I see is temporal, and everything you cannot see is eternal. The spirit of man, eternal, amen. Things that you and I are, I'm going to talk about, are focused on, or should be focused on, having eternal implications, amen. People here, are you born again? If you're not sure that you're born again, he loves you. He died for you. That even while you're yet in your mess or in your sin, he died for you. He longs to bring you into his family. He longs to bring you into his protection. He longs to bring you into his strength and his deliverance. Our God is the only way for everlasting life. And so this thing, once again, one more time, don't expect the world to say, yeah, to clap, to raise its hands, to stand up and give an ovation when we say, I've been born again, amen. But that's okay. There is a chorus. There's a choir in heaven that every time somebody gives their lives to Christ, man, there is celebration, because that's the eternal thing, and God sees the eternal things, amen and amen. So you can ask people about these things. So when we talk about there, if you've been raised with Christ, have you been born again? It's done through the living, eternal word. And then it says, keep seeking those things above, question mark. So let's talk a little bit about seeking those things above. That could be confusing, perhaps, seeking those things above, right? We live here on earth, so let's just start vetting. Let's start going through this. So keep seeking those things above. So let's talk about things again. Keep seeking those things above. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and it says this, now faith is the certainty. In the King James, it says substance, but now faith is the certainty of things hope for, a proof of things not seen, for by it the people of old gained approval. So we read that this seeking things, number one, is by faith. Everything that you and I accomplish is going to be in Christ Jesus, is going to be rooted and grounded in faith. Amen. How precious. Matter of fact, if you continue to read chapter 11 in Hebrews, we call that the hall of faith. And you'll see all these different characters, individuals in the Bible, and it talks about all the things that they accomplished. And in every instance, it says these things were accomplished by faith. By faith. Amen. By faith. By faith. It gives us a couple examples. Let's read it. Let's just read a few of these scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's continue. It says, by faith, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. You know what it means? That the Big Bang didn't happen. It means there was no substance. There was nothing visible there when God created the earth. There was nothing there. He spoke it. You can be funny. I believe in the Big Bang theory. God said it, bang, it happened. By faith, we believe, out of nothing, God created the heavens and the earth. Obviously, I can see, we talks about in Hebrews 1, we can see the creation of God around us, amen? We think, how did this get there? But it's made by a God that we don't see yet, right? That we shall see him. So that is faith. It'll be faith, right? It'll never be explained by science, because science always has to go back to the beginning and say, okay, how did a substance ever appear out of nothing? It had to show up. It had to be made by something. So either individuals are going to put their faith in a creator who made it, or they're putting themselves into something that made something out of nothing, and nothing made nothing, and somehow. It seems like to me that you would have to put more faith in that, brothers and sisters. You have to put your faith in something. And so putting my faith right now, that knowing it says that by faith, we know that the world was created by the word of God. He spoke it. So that what is seen has not been made out of things that that are visible by faith. It gives some example. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous. God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. What was pleasing to God? His faith. His faith in God was pleasing to him. His trusting to God. People have said it before. His faith, he got so close to God that God said, hey, you're closer to me than home. Just come on home. Maybe heard. But then it says his faith pleased God. Let me just say this more as we move on here. Your faith and trust in Jesus God and Jesus Christ is what pleases him. Matter of fact, your trust and faith in him is what sets us free. Amen. This faith and trust in him is what illuminates the word of God in our soul. Believing by faith. Don't discount faith because it's the only thing that pleases God. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have faith this morning? Does anybody here have faith? Hallelujah. On this rainy Sunday morning, do you have faith? People can say, say, I don't have much faith. Aren't you glad Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed? Aren't you glad that the Word of God says in Hebrews that he's given to each man a measure of faith? That it's not dependent on me, but it's something that I was born with to believe and to walk in the supernatural and to understand those things that I don't see. Hallelujah. And then it goes on in 6. It's just reiterating what I just said. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. By faith, and it continues a little bit more, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. Things. There's that word again. We'll talk, things not yet seen. In reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I can tell you one thing. We know that Noah wasn't a perfect man, But when God told him, hey, that this earth is going to be flooded, he'd never seen it before. And I want you to build a boat. I want you to build something that's never been built before, that you've never seen before, that the world has never seen before. I want you to do this. And he said, I'll do it. And that's what made him righteous. Believing in the unbelievable. Believing, for you and I, the same thing. Believing in the unbelievable. Believing that we're righteous in him by our faith. And when we believe that, then God begins to reveal himself to us, begins to grow us in him, begins to set us free. But I'm telling you, all of it is rooted and grounded in faith. How precious is our faith, saints? How precious is our faith? See, we must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. Let's say that he said, hey, it didn't say just who believe him, and he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. Did you know he's a rewarder? Amen. Did you know our God is a rewarder? Did you know what it is that he rewards? He rewards our faith. He rewards our faith and trust in him. Amen. So how was Noah rewarded? Well, when the world was flooded and everybody else died, he's floating. He lives. He reigns alive because he believed. What would happen? He said, God, I know you're real, but this thing could build a boat and it's gonna rain. Come on now. I can't be hearing you right. He believed what seemed to be the impossible. God loves you and I believing in the impossible. As a matter of fact, believing in the impossible, it says he rewards those who seek him, who diligently seek him. What I've come to realize, that diligently seek him, as I'm going to continue to believe your word, Lord. I don't care what I see, I'm going to continue to believe. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to continue to believe that you'll lead and guide me. You're going to continue to grow me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world. It doesn't matter what's going on in a crazy leftist government. I'm going to believe you. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that to slip out. How'd that happen? Forgive me. I don't care what the government believes. I know who I'm going to believe in. Because I'm seeing what when you believe in things that are contrary to God, we see what we see going on. I don't know about you, but I won't allow myself to be brainwashed. Continue to trust him. Believe in the truth. So we must believe that he exists, that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. You know, you say, how do we seek him? Do we pray? Yeah, that's part of it. But it's not just the act of prayer that pleases him. It's understanding that we pray that he hears our prayers and he answers him. If much praying was the answer, then the Pharisees would have had it made during the time of Jesus, wouldn't you? They would have had it down. They had all these formulas that would have said, hey, we're righteous. As a matter of fact, there are many formulas and many doings. They thought they were righteous before God, but in fact, they were blind. So how do we seek him? Do we pray? Yes. But it's saying, Lord, I believe what I'm praying. It's not just much. I would rather pray just a little bit. I'd rather pray a sentence today, a day, and believe it than pray for an hour of things that I'm not convinced of, that I'm not sure of, that I maybe it'll happen. I'd rather say one sentence that I pray in faith, saying, Lord, I believe this. How about, do we fast? Yeah, fasting can be part of it. Amen. Fasting is just quieting ourselves to hear the Lord, but fasting doesn't move God. Amen. It may move us. It may help us get our flesh under control in areas of our lives, right? It used to be you could fast food, different types of food, but it's not that way anymore. Now it's like, can we fast? Forget the fasting from food. Can we fast from social media? Can we fast from YouTube? Can we fast from even from some of our other churches that we get our that we're hearing from or getting our foundation from? Can we remove those things? So fasting can mean a totally different thing today. And what it is, say, Lord, I want to hear you. Or I'm setting aside time to hear you. But it doesn't move the heart of God, amen? It doesn't move him. He's always for us. It's for us to hear him. Fasting. Do we read the Bible? Read the Bible. I can go this. I would rather read one scripture that I could chew on for a week than read just 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 chapters and said, I did what I was supposed to do this week. I did my penance. I did what I normally do. This is my routine. I don't want to be in a routine because I am in a relationship. So I'd rather have one scripture that I could take and I could chew on one or two days or whatever, allowing the Lord to minister to me, allowing him to speak to me. Man, it's a relationship, saints. See, our much praying, our much fasting, our much Bible reading, our much coming to church, my question is it, what's it resulting in your life? Is it bringing freedom? Is it bringing peace? Is it bringing confidence? Amen. Is it bringing us closer to him? Is it settling our hearts? If it's not, I've come to realize, if it's not settling my heart, I want to do something different. I want to come to him and say, Lord, what do I do different here? It's a relationship. See, what moves God is our trusting him. He loves us to trust him in the impossible. You know what could be coming in the next year or two? I don't know. I mean, I try to look at things and say what's coming in the country, you know, when you think of $32 trillion in debt, right? And right now it's just easy to print money. Just easy to print money. I mean, I'm not a rocket science, but I know if you print enough of it, it has no value. And so I say, Lord, regardless of what's shaking, I'm going to trust you. Let me tell you, when you're any kind of shaking in a society, the only thing that can be shaken is those things that can be shaken. And if there's things that need to be shaken in my life to trust him, go right ahead, Lord. I'm yours. Let what can't be shaken remain. I'm going to trust him during the next couple of years. Amen. I don't care what happens in the economy. I said it again, meaning it's not going to change my trust in him. It's not going to change my focus. It's not going to change what God is doing on this earth. It's not going to change what God is doing in this nation. Amen. When all can be shaken, you know, this whole thing you think about with what's been going on with the closing of churches, right? And a lot of churches didn't reopen after this. What do they call it? A pan? Is that what they called it? A plan or pan? I forgot what they called it. And regardless of what happened there, there was thousands of churches that never opened again. Never opened. He'll shake. He'll take things. Doesn't matter who's behind it. He'll take things to shake. To shake things so that those things that cannot be shaken shall remain. This is what I've done with my heart. As me and my wife were praying a couple days ago, we were just praying over our family. We were praying the goodness of God. And then we began to pray for the church. And this is what came forth from the Lord for the body, saying, look, the wind of my spirit coming through. And see, that's things that are truth. And it says that he wants to remove the chaff, those things that are part of our lives that are not beneficial. Those things, and I'm not even saying about salvation, but those things that can hinder us or hold us back. You say, man, it's like the chaff. And I don't know about you, but those things that can hinder and hold me back in this day, in this age, I want to say, Lord, let all that chaff go. Let it be blown away by the Spirit of God, by the truth of the Word of God. But then I saw this. I saw those who said no, hold their arms down and said, nope. I'm not gonna, you know, whatever through obstinate, through I already figured it out. I've got all of it, everything I need to know. They held like this, and that shaft wasn't removed, so they were moved. And I'm not saying moved like out of a body. What it was is they were moved out of a place to hear truth, because they said, no, I'm not going to deal with anything. No, I've got everything I need. I'm perfect where I'm at, where God is saying, no, I want to move you forward. I want to move you on. I want to deal with those things that bring grief. I want to deal with those things that keep you stuck where you're at. And so what people, they won't listen to the Word of God. And so instead of the chaff, those things that hold them back being removed, they are moved by that wind because they refuse to submit to it. And then they don't hear. Now, God is always, you know, I've learned he's always faithful. And so we allow ourselves to get dry because we didn't allow his spirit to show us some things. Amen. I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. I know some of you, I don't know what you're thinking about it, but I know by fact that's what God's doing in his church today. Growing us up in him. Growing us up, showing us things that aren't there. The Spirit of God does it. Many of the things that we think we just want to lay our hands on and get a quick answer. No, God is saying, I need to show some truth to you in some areas of your life so you can come out of that. The Pentecostalism says it's just a quick fix answer. And I know his Spirit can do things. But when he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is life, he says, come and learn from me so you can come out from underneath that yoke. So you can come out from underneath that burden. Hallelujah. So I don't want to be one where I say, I'm not going to change. I don't want to be prideful or arrogant or whatever. So I'm not going to change anything. And then be moved by that wind where I don't hear. And allow myself to, you know, go around the mountain again. You ever done that? Going around the mountain? Going around the mountain? Same track. You come by and you can wave, here I am, and go back and come. Finally, we just say, look, I'm done with that, Lord. I want to hear your truth. I want to walk in your truth, amen. I want to grow in your truth. I want to be everything that you called me to be in this day, in this age, whether you're a teenager, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, or you're 80 years old. I will always want to have a soft, pliable heart saying, Lord, show me these things. Hallelujah. And so the thing with the Word of God said, I want to be like this. Say, Lord, all the chaff. Grow me in you, Lord. I want to have ears. I don't want to have itching ears. Just tell me pleasant things. Only tell me things I want to hear. No, the Spirit of God is always growing. And if we're his children, who here has not ever had to have a word with their child? Always speaking to us. Yeah, we have the grace thing, man. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation at all. But there's a humbling and submitting ourselves to saying, Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow in every area. I don't want to give up or give in. I don't want to be obstinate. Amen. So I believe in this day and the age with his church, with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God saying, Lord, I don't want to stay where I'm at. To do that, though, is saying, Lord, humble myself. It's easy to focus on everything that's wrong with the government while you and I stay in bondage. I'm not saying there's not that point of it. I'm saying, but we're in a danger just focusing on everything that's wrong in the government, but you don't see anything that's going on in our own lives. I think it's a trick and a ploy of the enemy. I said, I think it's a trick and a ploy of the enemy. Do I want to stand up for truth? Yeah, against nonsense and leftism and things that are trying to take control of our nation. But it's going to come through mature Christians that are growing in him. Amen. 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 That we were more sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying in our hearts. Oh, how he loves you and I. The wind of the Holy Spirit blowing through our lives, the truth. Amen. He says, look, there's some dross here. There's some things here I want to sweep away. It'll bring peace in your life. It'll bring wisdom in your life. Amen. It'll bring a sturdiness and a stability in your life. See, that's what I'm walking in, and that's what I'm pursuing. I hope it's the same thing for you, saints. So seek him, I believe, means to trust him and be established in your faith, to become unmovable. Hallelujah. I'm unmovable because his Spirit is moving, removing the chaff, removing those things that he's speaking to my heart about. I believe we can be praying, fasting, reading, attending just for more knowledge. How do I know? The world is built upon attaining more knowledge, but look where it has gotten the world. The world loves knowledge and wisdom and say, look what we can do. We can fly to Mars. We can do this and we can do that. But look what all this knowledge outside of the truth of God has given us. Men competing in women's sports. I was reading about, I think it was in San Diego, in a YMCA, and this gal who's been going to the YMCA is in the bathroom, and then all of a sudden she sees a transgender, and he undresses, and he's still got his male parts. And she went, hey, what's going on here? And they said, hey, he identifies as a woman, therefore cut it out. And so it came to this thing where it was more like that she was the one that was in wrong instead of him. That's what much knowledge gets you. That's what much knowledge in the world gets you. Lord, I pray that in the church we wouldn't just be seeking more knowledge, but Lord, that you would reveal your goodness to us, reveal the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would say, Lord, here, use me. Lord, make me a vessel. Even Paul says there's vessels. There's ones that are of gold and God's worked in, and they're gold, and they're basically saying they've been they're mature, and I can use them for any good thing I want to do. And others decide, hey, I'm okay where I'm at. And they said they're wood. They're just normal vessels of wood that we can do certain things with them, but I can't do all that I would want to do with them. I pray that in this day and age, you and I, saints, say, I want to be all and do all that God has for me. That it's just this, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to me. The Holy Spirit, I yield to you. And like I said, if there's areas where there's not peace, areas where there's confusion, areas where there's struggle, I can promise you this, that's an area where the truth of the Word of God has not been established. Lord, I pray that you establish those things in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for the peace of God that transcends understanding. Thank you for the power and the anointing of the Word of God. Thank you for the strength, God. Thank you that you love us so much that you're continually wanting to speak in us and through us. Amen. Lord, you don't want to leave us in any type of mess. Lord, you have designed us to walk in total peace, total rest. Amen. Freedom in the inner soul, man. Hallelujah. Believing. Amen. Mark 9, 20, 24. Hallelujah. I expect it to be quiet this morning, but I gotta, I'm preaching what God put on my heart. Amen. Thank you. Mark 9, 20 through 24. And they brought the boy to him. This is Jesus when he's coming down the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he saw him, the Spirit immediately threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth, and he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. But Jesus said to him, if you can, all things, there's that word again, all things are possible to him that believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. Man, the Lord loves our faith. All things are possible. Saints, what are you believing that could be in your life, your situation, an area of your life that you continue to believe? Don't give up, don't give hope. It's right there, like this boy, he said, my son has been this way since he was a small child. There's no hope for him. And he says, if you can help him, Jesus. And what Jesus said, if I can help him. And he knew what Jesus was saying. He says, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, he's a loving father. Every area of our life, we can say, Lord, help me. Help me in these areas. Help me to trust you, Father God. Help me, Father. In impossible situations in our life, he loves when we say, Lord, I'm going to believe in the impossible. Though still believing in healing, waiting for so long, continue to say, Lord, I'm putting my trust and faith into something that seems impossible. It can be in a relationship where it's like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I want it to. It's putting our trust in the impossible. Amen. It doesn't look good, but I'm believing in the impossible for those children that we're believing for, whatever the situation, in your job, whatever your finances, God loves. This is what he says. I love rewarding those who said, I'm believing the impossible. See, part of that faith, and those who seek him. Here's what I've learned. The seeking is, I believe. Here's the seeking. I believe against all, although doubt and everything looks impossible in the natural, I believe, God, you're going to turn this around. All things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. You want to know what seeking him is diligently? It's that I choose to believe in impossible situations. Hallelujah. 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 Number three, what are we seeking? Seek those things above, question mark. And so let me just mention what it is not. First, what are those things that are not above? You know the scripture, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says, do not love the world nor the things. There we go. You see that word, things? Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away, saints, in all its lust. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. What's the will of God? Well, first is you can't save yourself. All your much doing, all you're looking at the world won't save you, won't bring any satisfaction. Amen. Has anybody figured that out? I sure have. But it's saying, Lord, I'm putting my trust in things I can't see. First of all, the finished work of the cross, my salvation. There's nothing in this world, saints, that can satisfy. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy. There's nothing in this world we can pursue that can set us free. Here's the thing that I love too is, as I pursue the things above and not the things of the world, God has blessed me with those things that have blessed me with those things that I wasn't even looking for. See, when you're looking at the things above, you're willing to take your money and help other people. You're willing to tithe. You're willing to hear about finances. You're willing to help those in need because you're connected to the supplier anyway. You're not looking at here to supply your needs. When you're looking at those things above, amen, and you're saying, Lord, these things here don't satisfy. I've learned that already, and we're pursuing him, amen, pursuing him. He gives those things that we didn't even ask for. It says he knows those things even before we ask. He knows what we need. But I believe God is wanting to bless people financially even more. But the problem is so much is looking at these things. See, God is, he's our Father. He loves us. He's not looking to give us things that'll destroy us or that'll get us off mark or off track. But when we're looking to him, man, saying, Lord, I'm looking to you for the impossible things in my business, my job, and my family. That's the part of him. That's the part of this. And he loves to reward those who seek him, trusting him. Saints, this is what I've learned. This is what seeking is. I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue to believe. I'm going to believe in the impossible. Lord, you can do all things. Lord, you know my needs, and I'm going to trust you. I'm taking it all off of here because it's driving me cuckoo. Anybody ever been there? And I'm putting in my eyes upon you. He's my provider. He's my restorer. He's my rewarder. He's my grace. He's my strength. Amen. He's the one who leads and guides me into all truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's continue a little bit. So this, you and I have an eternal perspective, I hope, don't you? I like what 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says. It says, for our momentary, this is Paul speaking, by the way. If there was anybody who suffered some affliction, the Apostle Paul did. For our momentary light affliction, that's just life, right? This life and the enemy coming against you. And that's what that affliction is, the enemy coming against you. So you could leave here and the enemy will say, will start trying to, if anything's been planted, a seed of truth, he's going to try to steal it. That's the affliction. It could be a fight with somebody, your wife, your husband, your neighbor. It's just amazing what can happen, the things that happen when the enemy tries to steal a seed that has been planted. He'll do anything to make that not null and void, that won't take root and grow and produce fruit. That fruit, that's what he wants to do. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things, can you say things with me? We said things, a few things this morning. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. So you and I looking to, we'll talk about it, to look at the eternal things, amen, the things that we can't see are actually what produces the blessing of God in the world that you can see, is how that works. Hallelujah. So what is it about seek those things above? Those things. Well, Paul talks about it in Philippians 4:8. Starts with this thought process, your mind, right? If you're a born-again believer, you have that one, Bill? That's Philippians 4:8, point number four, seek those things above. Finally, brothers and sisters, he's getting ready to wrap it up. Paul has said a lot of things. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Man, do you know God wants us to walk in truth? You know what the enemy always tries to get us to do? Is to believe in things that are not true. So I think of the things that are true. First of all, he loves me unconditionally. I'm born again. I belong to him. There's struggles maybe, but the first truth is I belong to him by faith. Period. Period. It starts there. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Thinking of things that are honorable, honoring one another, amen? Honoring your wife, honoring your husband, honoring your friends, honoring your coworkers, them seeing Christ in you, so saying, so this is how we connect. See, this is how heaven works. Everything is harmonious in heaven, is it not? There's not one struggle in heaven. There's not one argument. There's not one disagreement. There's not one addiction. There's not one case of poverty. Everything in heaven is perfect. And how you and I do, we start working in that perfection, those things that are pure and lovely and true. It starts with how we think. And so it's this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. How many here want to walk in truth? Man, I don't want to. There's so many opportunities to believe things that aren't true nowadays. Is there not? So I've started to say, Lord, help me to walk in truth. I don't want to be deceived by any voices. I don't want to be deceived by any individuals. Lord, I want to walk in truth, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Let's continue. Whatever is right. Right? I'm going to walk right, uprightly. That truth that he's put in my heart, I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to show the world what is true. I'm going to show the world that he loves every unborn child. I'm going to show him that in the beginning he made male and female. But I'm going to do this with the love of God, amen, in my workplace. Well, they're going to say, hey, what's going on with you? My world is chaos. What do you have? Why are you walking in peace? Because I believe in the truth. I'm walking in the truth. I'm living in the truth. That's what it is. It's not because I'm on this spiritual plane that just takes, I'm kind of hovering. No, it's none of that. I'm rooted and grounded in the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Rooted and grounded in the truth, hallelujah. So whatever is right, whatever is pure, amen? Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What does heaven do? His thoughts are perfect toward us, how he loves us. His heart toward people is perfect that they would come to him. And he says, walk in my truth, and you experience these pieces, peace in your life. Hallelujah. Let me go to another one. And then seeking, here's important, number five. Number four, seek those things above. Five, seeking what has already been provided. See, sometimes we'll start seeking things and trying to get something from God, but man, he's a good, good father. He wants to give those things. What clouds us is things that we walk in that are not truth. John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things, there's that word, things again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, amen, for our salvation. It was all accomplished in order that Scripture would be filled, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth, Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Man, he finished it all. He finished what God had set out for him. To provide everything in salvation that we need. His peace. His provision. Amen. His wisdom. His guidance. His love. Everything has already been completed and provided and done for us in Christ Jesus. And so what the enemy tries to convince you is that's not true. But the thing is that is true. And we have to realize what will I believe that's true or not. And so the question is, what do you believe is true this morning? Do you believe that he's already finished, provided everything that you need for salvation? Do you believe that your faith pleases him? Do you believe that when we stand firm in him, amen, that he loves that? I said it many times, but we got to continue to say it. He loves working against all odds. He loves us believing in things that are crazy. He loves us like a child. I believe you can do that, Lord. I believe you can change that situation. I believe you're going to provide for me. Hallelujah. I believe no matter what goes on, as people seek everything down here, I'm focused on you. I'm focused on those things that come to me from another dimension. Hallelujah. That's pretty good preaching right there. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Romans 8, we're going to finish up here shortly. Amen. What then shall we say to these things? I'm saying that this morning. What shall you say this morning to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? All things that we need pertaining to him. Let me, next point, all things. We got to realize seeking, point six, seeking seems far away. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but what I really think that means, sometimes we'll look at that and say, okay, Jesus is the right hand of Father, and he just sits there 24/7, 365 days a week. I don't know how Jesus flows or what he does in heaven. We don't have any scripture with that, but I know that when we talk about he's seated, that means authority. You ever heard of the county seat? Where's the authority? At the county seat, right? For that county. His seated at the right hand of the Father means all authority has been given to Jesus by God the Father. And then everything through Jesus' name, everything that pertains to life that we need, comes through our faith, trusting, and asking in Jesus' name. Seeking seems far away, but let me mention this. Let's read this scripture in Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, what is it, truth? The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're not looking up there and saying, God, can you hear me? No, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, how are we seated with him in Christ Jesus? We are sealed with the Holy Spirit that has that direct connection with God. Amen. Because I don't see him seated. I'm not seated next to Christ Jesus. But the Word of God says, by the Holy Spirit, I'm seated with him. I have authority. He says, I have given you all authority. He says, in the past you prayed this way, but from now on, pray in my name. Pray in my name. In my name you'll cast out devils. Amen. You heal the sick. You'll do exploits by believing the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that you're not a God that's far off. Lord, we thank you that as a worship team comes, everything that we, all the things that we need, when we look to him, all of these things that from the world that we try to find satisfaction or become worried about, if we'll look to him and say, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me things. Let me know, Lord, that everything pertaining to life, all those things I have through you. Lord, you just think about some of these situations you might be in as the worship teams. Can we stand together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you that this thing called faith changes everything in our life. Putting our trust in you, the Holy Spirit ministering to us. Everything we need, the things that we need. On this plane, and the man he provides everything on this plane. Isn't that wonderful? What happens so much, we look at these things on this plane, and it brings uptightness. You ever, uptightness? It brings anxiety. It brings fear. It brings disappointment. But when we're looking, when we're tied in looking to him who sits at the right hand of the Father, by faith, by the Holy Spirit in us, as he begins to speak to us, as he's the one that speaks to us, bringing truth, saying, hey, make adjustment here, do this, and it brings peace. And then he said, start believing for big things. Thank you, Jesus. How does he reward us? His reward is saying, Lord, I'm believing you for the impossible, whatever that is.
Yes.
Your marriage, your family.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Relationships, whatever it is. He loves when we like childlike faith. Amen. Lord, if you incline, I'm going to do this for myself. Lord, I lift my hands and I say, Lord, I receive everything from your throne that I need and pertains to life today. Lord, I am trusting you. Lord, I'm trusting you for my provision. I'm trusting you, even Lord, speaking to me with the craziness going on around me. Lord, I'm trusting you, Father, for freedom. I'm trusting you, Lord, to receive truth in that area of my life, to break oppression in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that would try to hold you down, oppression or depression because of things that have happened in the past, you just say, Lord, forgive me. I cover that with thank you for forgiving me of everything in the past. I believe that your blood washes my sins away, that you know that's what it takes because that's faith. And he loves it when we believe that he washed every sin away. He loves it when he says, Lord, and it's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And then we can stand before him, even if we don't feel like it in our own conscience, and say, Lord, I am clean before you. And Lord, I ask that you would help me not to look at the things on this earth. Lord, for my satisfaction, for my wisdom, but I look to you as an alien on this earth as we navigate. You know, God is looking for people that he can put monies into their hands because they already know the things of this world won't bring satisfaction. He's looking for things he can trust his saints with because it won't get them off track so they can do great exploits in this country, in this day, in this age. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be one of those. How do we get that? Lord, I believe in you. I believe it. The power of faith. The power of faith. Father, we thank you for seeds. We thank you for the word of God on every heart. My heart this morning, Lord, as you spoke to me. Lord, I want to be an individual that all the chaff, anything in my life that needs to be blown off, I'm saying, Lord, blow it off. Show me it. I don't want it anymore. I don't want anything that holds me back. Lord, I don't want to be a person that can say all the right things. I've got all the cliches, all the scriptures.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I can do all these things, but it hasn't actually had an effect at the core being in my soul realm. That's when we can have all these cliches and we say, Lord, I remove those things. I give up on those things, trying to prove things. And I say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in you healing my body in Jesus' name. I believe in you setting me free from addiction in Jesus' name. I believe that you love me, Lord Jesus, and I belong to you. I am your child forever. And from that point, Lord, growing in truth, growing in the knowledge of God, growing in purpose. I thank God that it's never too late for any of us to walk in purpose. It's never too late to have a brand new life in him. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we thank you for faith. We thank you for the Holy Spirit exploding in hearts. We thank you for chaff, Lord, blowing away. It's the Holy Spirit that shows those things to us. Lord, we thank you that for a fresh excitement in you, in Christ Jesus, a fresh excitement in what you are doing, starting out by faith, saying, I believe in the impossible. I mean, do you have things in your life that you think are impossible? Dare to trust him and believe. Lord Jesus, we love you. If you need prayer this morning at all, I invite you to come up as we have some of our prayer partners come up. If you need any agreement, if you need to recommit your life to the Lord, or if you've never been born again, that you need someone to agree with you, or if there's something in your life that you need someone to agree with you, we'd love to agree with you. Amen. We'd love to agree with you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him this morning? He loves you. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful day. We thank you for an amazing Monday. We thank you for speaking to our lives. We thank you for doing brand new things. We thank you for truth being revealed. We thank you for faith arising. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.